What?
Black porn stars. It was, you know.
Most porn stars' dicks are big.
Well, I mean, no. But,
unless it's like small dick porn.
Have you seen the prosthetic?
Which, I'm glad that that's out there because it's a total equal out. That's like the dream. It's like, you know. I'm not speaking from experience, but I can only imagine that a guy with a small dick sees small dick porn and goes, there's hope!
Dude, Ron Jeremy. Ron Jeremy's dick is so small. He's like always like kind of pinching it to like.
I just think zoom in on it.
Yeah, when I watch porn,
what is
really
the selling point of Ron Jeremy then? If his there's no way his dick is small. What does his dick look like?
I'm gonna Google Ron Jeremy.
No, I don't think his dick's big, right? That's his whole thing.
No, his dick like 13 inches.
He can just bang. No, no one's dick is 13 inches.
I've seen those ads like Ron Jeremy's 13 secrets to a giant.
Oh, I was yeah.
It's got to be based on some kind of
my friend Noelle from I forget her band name, but she for some reason got. Ron Jeremy's actual phone number. I think I still have it.
He almost died.
It's, please tell me I have this as an old phone.
You have Ron Jeremy's phone number.
I might have deleted
it. Let's call him and get him on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, I have his phone number.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm calling him right now.
Call him. Be like, you're on the CCC podcast.
Like, Ron, how big's your dick? Oh, no.
He might pick up, but we might get his answering machine. I'm so serious about this. I've had this number for years, and he might. Like, we've been calling him a lot when we're drunk, but.
Hello, everybody. This is Ron's phone. Please leave a message after the tone. I'll call you back and right away. Just wait for the beep and have a nice day.
This mailbox is currently full.
Oh!
Again later. Goodbye.
If anyone's gonna help,
shoot
a text.
Hello and welcome back to the Cuban Cigar Crisis Podcast. My name is Alon Moskowitz. I'm the drummer in the band. There's a lot of stuff going on. This week we got a show over at Glen Park Station in San Francisco on the 14th, which is Sunday. We just confirmed a badass June 11th gig at Submission, which may or may not be part of a larger tour we're going to be doing down to Saturation Fest over in Riverside. And to top it all off, Eden and Eden at 560 Jackson Street, Chaz Eden's store, is selling Rosencrantz blankets. For the love of God, buy them. They're amazing. And come to our shows and stuff. Right now, Kyle Bruder, who's making a slow transition into finally living with the band around San Francisco, has just moved into my apartment, and I'd like to take you to the interview that we're currently doing elsewhere. This is a pre-recorded message. So we're living together.
Yes.
This is one step closer to getting the band into the city in one space.
This is a new chapter for the rhythm section of the crisis.
Sharing a one-room apartment, rock and roll stees. Oh, we need to get curtains, because that place across the street can totally see. The laundromat has made comments that they can see me walking around in here. And she's like, oh, this is what you look like in clothes. And it's like, ugh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not too shy, but I don't want to offend anyone either, so.
Oh, yeah, I feel you. This is cool, though. So, I mean, I was going to ditch town, and then you were going to move up here, and then we finally get this all into one order, and these are all plans from, like, months ago to get like one central nexus, and I think we should start playing shows every week. I think we should finish this 15 minutes max, what's it called, the album, the punk album, and then do like two 15 minute sets a night, and then do it like four times in a month or like something like that at GPS, like whenever Chris is working, and just do something like that for like a month, just be like overexposed for a month, and then just duck back down.
Yeah.
And then go someplace else or record some music.
Yeah,
or
I think
some
once we
like
have
that.
A new album, once we have a new album to hand out, I think we can do another blast of shows.
Definitely.
And you know, kind of like.
Well, I think 15 minutes max should be the album we're releasing at that point. That'll be how we like do that. We'll just play like a bunch of shows for like a month, and then like release it like either just after that
yeah.
or like right then or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And then we got Saturation coming up.
Which one is that?
Saturation Festival in Riverside.
Tell me about it.
At it's at Back to the Grind. I'm not sure exactly what date it is, but you can find it online. But if you just Google Saturation Fest or Back to the Grind, I'm sure they have information up there already. I believe it's sometime in May. But definitely we're confirmed to go in there. We were asked when we played last year to come back. So this will be the third year that we played it if we go. And I don't see why we can't plug in a few shows on the way there and back. Maybe redo what we failed on last time with the Santa Cruz show.
It would be cool to hit that on the way back up.
Yeah,
but
I think we should.
We did have a pretty radical evening, like not playing a show in Santa Cruz.
It's true, but we don't know how radical it could have been if we
did
have a
show. Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what I mean? I mean, our lives would have taken a very different course, but that's a pretty fateful day that was. But coming back from that tour, but you know, I basically like guaranteed be able to get a show at this point. If we want to, because we're going to have the gear, we're going to be, it's on the way, sort of.
We had we were all kind of like, I think the sentiment amongst the band when we got to Santa Cruz too was like, it was disappointment that nothing was set, and we got there at a point where it seemed like Chaz needed to just like go home or something like that, and like, it
yeah,
just
we
seemed
were
like,
all exhausted.
The energy, yeah, it just dissolved at that point. I don't like that feeling. I feel like whenever all the shows you play in those towns, like, if they're not good, it just amplifies it, and if you're playing for nobody, it really amplifies it.
Yeah, but I think at the same time, you know, maybe we wouldn't have been in that state of mind if we knew we were going into a show. You know what I mean? If we knew we had a show lined up, maybe we would have been a little more hyped, you know? Instead of just like, okay, this is the end, we're almost home, we're not there yet. You know what I mean?
Well, the show that wound up happening at Billy's house just kind of came out left field entirely, you know? Yeah. It just kind of like... So we didn't know we had that. We were just stoked, because I remember we were just like, should we pack out the gear? Nah, let's just play. And then we just wound up playing there. And there was that band that just happened to be down the street and that came by and was like, come on tour with us in like this date, and I'm sorry I have really cool electronic drums. Like, I don't know.
Rich kids.
Yeah, rich kids.
They were cool. I'm sure we'll bump into them again. Yeah.
And now we're all living in San Francisco. This was all like Chris Castro's plan, and he doesn't live in San Francisco yet.
Well, once I'm up here for good, I don't think I'll have any choice. I know he's looking to move somewhere.
That bastard, I was going to go move back to New York, and Chris Castro shoots me a text that's just, it was like really concise, and it said something to the extent of, what's it going to take to get you and Kyle to move up here? And like, he started like explaining how cheap like rent was in Petaluma, where he lives, which is a buttload of distance from San Francisco when you really think about travel. It's like about, it's further than Santa Cruz distance-wise.
It's more of a direct path. I mean, you can basically, once you're over the bridge, you can drive straight there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it is actually distance-wise, it's further. But, you know, there's something to be said about not, you know, not living and working and doing everything all in the same city. I gotta say, sometimes it's kind of nice just to break away. But if you have someone who lives out of town, that's just as good. You know what
San Francisco's a lot like college, man. It's like a really small city, and then it's just sort of like, I feel like a lot of the time you can just promote things. Like a woman recognized me at the La Boulange I work at the other day. She was like, "You're a drummer in a band." And granted, she knew Chaz's sister. But that's what like was even smaller world thing, where it's just sort of like just the pure happenstance that these people know enough people like in a small city, and pretty much like, you know, people only live around certain areas, like outside a certain point. Like if you get far enough into the sunset, like pretty much everybody's a stranger. But you know, like downtown and everything, everybody just, yeah. You can get, I don't know,
well,
you can become...
even in the mission proper, I mean Mark, Dr. Marcus has been in there not even a month, and I walked down the street with him from his apartment to the food store to get some food to cook, and he ran into like four people he knew already.
Well, that's because like everybody moved.
That's how tight of a community it is over there.
That's like the same with like Brooklyn for like people on the East Coast, man. Yeah. It's just like you'll run into. Like, everyone you've ever met in San Francisco, you're going to run into in the Mission, or on a sunny day in Dolores Park. It's like,
yep.
And, you know that, and that's why it's a lot more like college than living in, like, bump into nobody in Manhattan.
It's like a peer group.
And that's why we need to conquer it.
Oh, yeah, I don't think it'll be hard.
We'll crush it under our thumbs using our East Coast energy.
I want them to want me.
Old growth tree, super. mustache. She knows everyone that's northeast, west, south. What is that you smell, or is there a cat's tootsie roll in your mouth? I'm okay, I'm alright. Stay out all day, stay out all night. Fuck you, I'm a seamster.
Maybe on the guitar, but we'll never be a shoegaze band. Shit like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I think pedals are cool. But
I don't like, there's only, I don't know how to explain, because I listen to a lot of music that's like shoegazy or like crowd rock, where it's like the same thing over and over with like different effects, but like, that gets really lame when you're playing like, because we play like, it's like distortion pedal or clean, and just like on, off, on, off. You know what I mean? Like, and there are a few tones in between, but like, it's pretty simple.
I think simple's good. If you can make it sound good and simple at the same time, then you're winning, basically.
Totally.
The war.
The war on boring music.
Yeah.
There's too much of it, man.
You know, it's like, gotta do a common thing well, you know? Something about that, you know? It's like a lot of people, you know. It's like basically if your work's too convoluted and it doesn't have any like real substance and like glory behind it, then it's like then you're just hack. You know what I mean?
True story. And if you keep writing the same song over and over and over, it gets really boring. And sometimes that means like the same genre too, where it's like that's what we like. I don't feel like we have a centralized genre a lot of the time because we'll do that like. We very much, a lot of the songs do come off like 90s alternative, but then there's like a whole bunch of different I don't know how to explain, it's not like fusion music, like it doesn't really go to another genre particularly, but like it manages to like take extremes in like the references or inspirations from different songs which are pre-existing. Like it'll range from like sounding like a Led Zeppelin song, like Over a Lower Simmer sounds like a Led Zeppelin song a little bit. Like it's got this ba ba da bum. Is that the ocean or whatever? With John Bonham doing like a really similar thing, and it's like that's like a good feeling. And like that's kind of like, I feel like the last groups that really did that harkened back to that were like Blind Melon does a lot of shit like that, and they're like a 90s band, and so like kind of comes off instead of being like. A 70s song is like a 90s song, you know?
Yeah, I mean, essentially it's pop rock, I guess, but I mean, especially I feel like we got two kinds of songs. We got like fun songs, and then we got like hard songs, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true, but there's like no, there's a lack of space taken between like the humor in the lyrics, or like the lyrics are usually pretty lighthearted. Like Chaz hasn't really been like, I mean, like titled in some of those songs, or like they are pretty dark, like, but like there's still like, it doesn't like, it's not like woe is me. It's just sort of like dark, but kind of like taken back, like the moment of first realizing something, but there's like an impact. But a lot of the more recent songs are about things like Kimmy Gibbler's second dicks and stuff. So I think we've like, wherever we're going with this, it seems as though the tone is definitely changing.
Yeah, I mean, we can do whatever we want. It's the part. See, like, we're not on a record contract. We're not, we don't have any master to serve. Like, we can do whatever we want.
But imagine if we had a record. Like, I would want to work for, like, if anybody, Fat Records in San Francisco.
Sure. I mean, but then you really need to get dialed into a genre. I mean, I think the way that any groundbreaking group or individual musician got into it was by just taking a little bit of everything and going with it, you know? And so, I mean, like, I feel like Slip and Slide, you know, that's kind of a new sounding type of thing.
I mean, but at the same time, like, it's like got like a very, like, yeah, it's like, there's nothing new, and that's what's really frustrating. It's like, it's not like we've discovered, like, the alchemy of turning coal into gold.
No, I'm not saying that.
But it feels like, yeah, it just feels good. Like, there's, like, yeah. Like a universal feeling that it channels into, you know?
It's just like, what does that song sound like? What band does that sound like? I can't.
Sonic Youth.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, Sonic Youth have, like, fucking 80 albums, and so they covered everything, so.
True story. And a lot of what they do is just, like, static and noise.
Yeah, and I like Sonic Youth. They're one of my favorite bands of all time.
Well, I feel like that's what, like really makes, like, when you talk about getting a new sound, like all of those guys, like, I'm sure they were like, oh, man, this sounds like this particular thing. Like, no matter how groundbreaking you feel like you are sometimes, like, you, there's just this oppressive force of only being able to channel, like, I mean, if you channel a feeling that resonates like that, that's good. That's pretty much the highest thing you can achieve, because there's very, like, I wish we lived in an era where doing a few things musically, which, like, there were still possibilities that hadn't been created before, where people would just be like, whoa, that thing.
Dude, there are.
But what?
Dude, we just need to be on the fucking scene playing music all the time and not, you know, letting loose. We gotta, like, let loose, you know? I mean, I've gone to shows. See, the problem is it's undefinable. So, like, you ever been to, like, some crazy shows where, you know, there's a band that you like, and, you know their music, but they're playing shit that's, like, you know, not, it's, like, once in a lifetime, they're never gonna play that shit again type shit, where it's just, like, transcendent of its original form, and the problem is you can't just go home and be like, oh, like, got the equation, I'm gonna write it down, like, you know, like, it's undefinable in and of itself, because it's never been done before. Like, you just gotta wait for people to emulate that, and then for, you know, for the society, the music society, to slap a label on it once enough people are doing it.
Are you talking about the particular way that the song is played, or a particular sound?
A sound.
Within a song, within, because it's like you're talking about a band whose material I know, but at the same time, I'm going there to see them play a set of material that
right.
I probably know. So are you talking about them doing something new within one of the songs that I already know?
Yeah, just,
or just anything?
You know, like, when bands, like, fucking go crazy on songs, and, like,
yeah.
Like, we do it all the time, or where it's just, like, you just keep it going, and bar after bar, and, you know, it's all, like, you know, slightly experimental, but I don't know.
No, I know what you mean. Like, the weird, like, weird dub out things at the end of some of the songs and practices and junk. I'm trying to keep those for the podcast.
Let's go get some cigarettes, then.
Yeah.
And then let's call Chaz.
Yeah. You hungry?
Yeah, I should probably eat.
Yeah.
This space was like, I don't know, maybe 5 times the size, and like